This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I believe it was a middle-aged man, I'm pretty sure, when Judge hit the line drive. I think there's an expectancy.
He was walking up and down the aisles, I think.
Right, but I think there's an expectancy. You're an adult. You should be paying attention. And while it's easier said than done, I at least understand that. In this case, it's a little girl with her grandparents who's essentially defenseless. You can't defend it. You just can't. So that's why people are, I think, going to come out in large numbers today, pro-netting. So here is Chris LaPreston.
All right, guys. Brought to you by 2 by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. We will certainly get some reaction to the unfortunate event there at the stadium yesterday. But we'll start with the game. It was total domination by the Yankees this week against the Twins.
2-2. There goes deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Yes, indeedy.
John Sterling, fourth inning call here on the Fan. Three-run homer for Didi Gregorius, as part of a six-run rally.
I was really worried about that after he swung and hit the ball. Yes. Did you see what he did?
Yes, he went to shake the hand of the catcher because he dropped the bat and hit him.
Yeah, is that what happened?
Yes, I thought that was okay. He pointed it out on the broadcast, too. I think Paul O'Neill's like, in all my years playing and watching baseball, I have never seen that before. He wanted to make sure that Castro, whoever it was, the catcher.
And he broke Jeter's home run record for the Yankees, right?
Yep, number 25.
And, you know, the great year for that young man continues. The great trade that brought him here. You just think about, I don't know how Cashman found him. I don't know where he got him. I remember where he got him. I think he got him from the Twins. Didn't he get him from the Twins, I think?
Arizona.
It was Arizona.
Yeah. It was a three-way deal.
I don't know why Arizona would let that guy go, but I'll tell you what. What an unbelievable find by Brian Cashman, and the fact that he's had a, you know, replace a legend. I mean, that's not easy.
And didn't get off to a good start. The first season, he was miserable.
Well, the first couple months, he was miserable.
Yeah, it was most of the first season.
I remember people like, who is this guy and all that other stuff? And now he's become an integral part of the team.
Yes, he has.
Hopefully, he'll have his moments in the big spots like Jeter had his.
Yep, and he was asked about passing Jeter for the record and just kept the focus on the team.
For me, it's most important is winning. That's what we play for. As long as we win it, I'm good. I'm happy.
So he was happy Wednesday afternoon because the Yanks did erase an early 3-0 deficit, went on to beat the Twins 11-3. Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez with back-to-back homers in the third. Judge added a sac fly. He's up to 45 homers and 101 RBIs. Could Joe Girardi have imagined that back in spring training?
We all would have signed up for it.
Did you think?
I don't think any of us would have said, no, we don't want that.
He was asked directly if I told you 45 and 100.
No, that's cool. Did you see the number, though? He is the only other rookie to have 100 RBIs, 100 runs, and 100 walks. Yeah. The only other one is Ted Williams.
How many times have since Joe put these two guys in the order like this, how many times have they gone back-to-back?
I don't know, but I know they've done it twice on this homestand.
Right.
So, yeah, they've definitely found their strokes
here. That's a pretty cool thing. You got one hitting a bomb, and then the next one coming right up after him and hitting one.
No doubt. Judge joining Joe DiMaggio, Tony Lazzieri, and Hideki Matsui as the only Yankee rookies to eclipse 100 RBIs. You had three hits apiece from Sanchez, Greg Bird, and Jacoby Ellsbury, who finished a home run short of the cycle. So Ellsbury continues to swing it well at the plate.
His double and triple, you've got to love this. The hustle out of the box. The double was awesome. And the fact that he got a triple, and by the way, a drop ball. The fact that he got to third base, pretty impressive.
Yep, he's been playing hard. Of course, all of that, though, was overshadowed by the sobering moment in the fifth when Todd Frazier's 105-mile-per-hour line drive struck that little girl in the face just beyond the third base dugout. Joe Girardi had some initially encouraging news after the game.
We got a report that she's okay. Obviously, you could see the concern on everyone in the ballpark. The players, the umpires, the fans. And it's, you know, it's disturbing when it happens, and it's hard for a player when it happens.
And Frazier, many others on the field with tears in their eyes, a lot of concerned faces watching on. The girl's father did tell WABC-TV she was doing all right, asked that we keep her in her thoughts, said it was too early to tell if she would need to undergo any type of surgery. And this, of course, brings up the hot-button issue, protective netting at baseball games. Minnesota's Brian Dozier, very outspoken about that afterwards. He says you got to have nets at the stadium.
I don't care about the damn view of a fan or what. It's all about safety. And I still have a knot in my stomach.
He was very emotional talking about it afterwards.
The player's been calling it for a while now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then this just obviously amplifies all their concerns. And I would think that You know, if it really comes down to the individual teams, I mean, if you're the Yankees, that's two people that we know of that have been hit with significant line drives. One was an older man, got hit by a Aaron Judge hit foul ball, and this one, obviously, a two-year-old. This is a hard one. It's a hard one to really swallow.
And sure. and understandably, why the players are very outspoken about it, because they're the ones that are putting these balls in play. So the guilt factor,
Eddie
obviously,
Escobar,
for them.
I think, was quoted as something along the lines saying, "I can't believe she very well could have been killed."
Yeah,
and he saw it was right on top of
you.
It,
could see the looks on the field. All the guys on the field obviously were very shaken up. In any event, the Yanks do go 7 games up on Minnesota for that top AL wild card spot. Still 3 behind the Red Sox. They won again, another shutout, 9-0 over the Orioles. Chris Sale, 8 innings of 4-hit ball. He whiffed 13 for his 17th win. First American League pitcher to strike out 300 or more in a season since Pedro Martinez did
the
it
Orioles
back
really put up
in
some
99.
Resistance.
Yeah. Oh, boy. God, they have completely fallen apart.
Yep. The Yanks and Red Sox both have the night off. Final road trip of the season for the Bombers. 3-game set in Toronto starting tomorrow night. Meantime, the Mets, no match for Giancarlo Stanton and the Marlins.
Curve hit deep to left. Back goes Nimmo, and there it goes, number 56 for Giancarlo Stanton. He lines a curveball into the Clevelander in left center field.
Howie Rose, WOR.
I mean, you just knew it. I mean, you know, every star that the Mets played this year, and I don't even talk about this Mets team that we're seeing now, seems like every star of the other team always would hit a home run or come up with a huge, you know, base hit when the game is on the line. And it's just amazing how they got drilled by everybody's all-star.
Yep. Howie Rose, WOR. Stanton capping a 2-for-5 date. The plate drove in 3. Marlins beat up Rafael Montero in the Mets 9-2 to sweep the 3-game series. Brandon Nimmo homered in defeat his 4th, but the Mets well on their way to 90-plus losses. They're back home to host the Nationals beginning Friday night. And you had Sandy Alderson telling the New York Post yesterday, highly unlikely that they will not bring back Matt Harvey next season.
Right. So they expect to tender him. They're going to tender him, sure. Yes.
By the way, you mentioned the Nationals. Did you see the post by Bryce Harper with his Uber driver?
No.
He gets in an Uber car. It must have been yesterday or the day before, and he posted this on social media. The Uber driver, he claims he is the world's tallest man at 7'11" tall, and Bryce Harper looks like a child next to him.
What kind of car is he driving?
It's kind of, I don't know, it looked like a big Escalade or something.
Oh, my God.
It looked like
he's
got to
be getting
Boomer,
an Uber
basically.
XL, man. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Seriously.
It's the funniest looking photo if you can find it. It's pretty cool.
All right, we'll check that out. Meantime, Jets CEO and chairman Christopher Johnson with the media out in Florham Park yesterday. But we don't have any audio of that. I wonder why. Instead, we give you this from Johnson's exclusive one-on-one sit-down with NY.
You guys are taking shots at the higher-ups, man. It's unbelievable.
It's not the higher-ups.
Somebody's got to make a decision to send somebody over there. It's usually a higher-up that does that.
We have a reporter, but there was there's
we
no
do have a reporter. Who's the reporter?
I don't know what.
Brian Costello is
I don't know. I do not know what the extent of his responsibilities are.
Stories.
But
now,
CeeLo,
didn't you used to do this?
I did, yes.
You used to be on that beat.
So had I been there yesterday, we would have audio from the scrum.
We have no audio from Brian.
Well, I think in fairness to Brian, I think his job is to cover the
story. It's not a knock on Brian. I'm just stating that.
It's not a
had
knock
I been
on Brian.
Here,
sound like, sure sound
no,
like
I said I don't know what his job or responsibilities are.
That's actually covered it.
All I'm saying is, had I been there, we would have heard from Christopher Johnson. Instead,
you would have asked a very long-winded
question. I would have. Instead, we're reduced to this from his one-on-one sit-down with nyjets.com.
I love the outdoors. I love to ski and surf.
All right, that's good.
I love to work out, stay in shape, which I have to do those other sports.
So,
does he have a job or no?
Yeah.
I mean, or does he just like to
Johnson
go out and do
and
things?
Johnson, I don't think he really.
Yeah. No, they're not. They don't run it anymore.
No, but I think he's got plenty of money from it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Does he have a job?
Yeah, his job is rich white guy.
Anyway,
okay.
Some of the bullet points from his.
Sorry, I covered that.
I mean, why would you have to say rich white guy? Why can't you just say rich guy?
Well, fact is a fact. That's all.
You just say rich guy.
That's fine.
Okay, sure.
I mean, if you happen to be a black guy, would you say rich black guy?
Yeah, probably.
No, I don't think you would.
Oh, right.
I don't think you would.
Right. Moving on, Chris.
Yes. So some of the bullet points from his media scrum is that Woody is completely out of any football discussions within the organization. That includes the fates of both Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan. Christopher says that he will make those decisions based on progress here in 2017 rather than simply wins and losses. Also emphatically said any suggestion of them tanking this season could not be further from the truth. You got Jets and Dolphins from MetLife Sunday afternoon. By the way, he does look a lot like Woody because he walks around with the baseball. baseball cap on.
Baseball hat and everything. I heard some of it. He actually sounded competent.
Yes.
I knew what he was talking about. He sounded very aggressive, very informed.
You heard some of it. Where can I find that?
Probably on a channel that you cannot regurgitate.
I see. Okay. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. So he sounded like he knew exactly what he was doing. He was locked in. He wasn't nervous.
I think if I'm a Jet fan, the quote I loved from him was, "I am not a patient person. And I want results." If you're a Jet fan, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Right.
So I agree with you.
There you go. The Giants were back to work and back to the drawing board, trying to dig themselves out of that 0-2 hole. Ben McAdoo embracing the us against the world mentality.
A lot of people are counting us out, and so be it. But we hold ourselves to a high standard in the building, and we got a great challenge this week, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, the good news for them is that the Philadelphia Eagles have a number of problems and injuries in their secondary.
Yep.
How about the defensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand
that's the concern, obviously.
Still got to have somebody to cover some people downfield, and I think they're going to be missing at least, I think, three starters back there.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that as the week moves along. Well, really, by tomorrow when the injury reports come out. Any decision on McAdoo giving up his play-calling duties?
We'll see.
Is that just a coaching decision, Ben, or
That's my decision.
Yeah, you're a head coach. It's your decision.
No, I would never tell you that.
Is it something you're still considering, or is it something you already decided?
Yes. Yeah, we'll do anything we can do to help us move the ball.
I love how comfortable he is dismissing the media. Is that something you'd share with us? No, I'd never tell you. There was no hesitation.
I mean, I guess we'll know if he's on the sideline with that big
thing in front of him.
Yeah.
But between now and then, he's saying he's not going to clue you into it and what's going on. I think there was also, he was asked about Bobby Hart's status, and he was just like, it would be dumb for me to answer that question.
Right. I know they all do it, but I think, and I have my brother's a Giant fan, so is my dad. They look at him and they feel like, and I know they couldn't be further from the truth because what they're doing, it looks like they're not engaged in the game because they're constantly studying the stupid chart.
They're engaged. People are talking to them. Good. The other thing, too, they're also writing notes down to remind themselves about things that have just happened on the field. And they may want to bring it up with a player. They may want to bring it up with a coach. And they may want to say, you know, oh, wow, I've never seen this happen before. I gotta think about this. And, you know,
when you see Bill Belichick on the sideline,
he's got the pencil in his ear. He looks like he's getting ready to, you know, cut some wood and start planing and building a house.
Never said he didn't, but he looks intense. He looks focused.
He doesn't have the charge because he's not correct. Calling offensive
defense. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but, you know, he is also saying, though, okay, listen, guys, we're inside the 30. We're going for it here.
Which is what I would think.
Or listen, guys, you know, we're in four down territory or whatever.
They don't miss any details. Certainly not.
Certainly not.
No. Then you've got this weird Eric Ebron, Landon Collins thing from Monday night against the Lions. Ebron apparently ticked off at, quote, that little punk of a safety they've got over there. And Collins is far from little, by the way.
I ran into him the other day at CBS.
Landon?
I was really struck by how big he was.
Yeah, he's a thick dude.
Yeah, he's a thick dude.
How big is Ebron then?
He's big as well. Right. I mean, but
6'5", about 260.
Little punk safety. It's a bit much. Anyway, he did catch a touchdown in the game. There was a big Collins hit late on him, though. Didn't seem to be anything dirty. Here's Collins, his reaction to what Ebron had to say.
Like I said, it's a game of football. I'm going to hit you as hard as I can. You're going to feel all this. That's all I could say.
And
Ebron was a little all over the place because he was mad about the hit, but then he also commended Collins for playing a good game and playing his butt off to guard him. So he can't seem to make up his mind over there.
You know, Al, you remember how we get into the elevator and I want to play Molecules with you and all that stuff?
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Well, yeah, I know. We got into the elevator over there at CBS and there was Landon Collins. I was not playing Molecules.
See, now you know what it's like to be Al.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to do that. I mean, you know, he's...
Because you'd break a rib.
I didn't realize how big, like, really thick he is up top. Like, he's just like a monster.
Yeah, and he moves around pretty well.
He does.
And we'll finish up with a little dessert for Boomer and myself.
Al Zuccarello. Lots of pass work. 5 seconds left. Across for Heedle, who scores!
That's our new draft choice.
John Gino and MSG.
Overall. And by
18
the way,
years old.
Yeah, he doesn't speak English.
He does not speak English. Wow. Second first round pick.
You watch all these games, these preseason games, got 100 guys on the freaking bench, and I mean, they all look like babies, man.
Yep.
18, though.
This kid is 18 years old, and he's got some skills, man. I don't know if he'll make the big team, but he's definitely got some skills. And by the way, 42 penalties it called last night, I think it was.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, he's stupid. Wait till you see this, man. If this goes on in the regular season, fans
obviously
are
gonna get ticked. It's not going to. They're just trying to set the tempo here. Right. Really set the
whole slashing thing.
What are you waving
at?
Alan Eddy.
Why? Are they mad about the hockey thing again?
If you want to go talk to Alan Eddy,
No, I'm good. I'd rather just listen to you guys talk about the first preseason game or the second preseason game.
This is where they try to set the tone for the season.
I will stop playing it when Boomer tells me to stop playing.
This is where they set the tone for the season.
Boomer wants a highlight package.
That's why I play it.
I'd like to have a highlight package. It was good. We won again. That's all
I
care.
You all can roll your eyes as much as you want.
0 points for the game. Fantastic.
Kreider looks like TJ. He looks like he's ready to roll.
Let's go, baby.
That's right. Thank you very much, Chris.
All right, 6:43 on the Fan. It's the Boomer Esiason Show. Boomer Esiason, the morning show.
Is that what it's called? I don't even know what it's called. It's called the Boomer in the Morning Show, whatever the hell
it is. It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason on the Fan.
All right, I should stop saying the Boomer Esiason Show. The Morning Show with Boomer Esiason. It is time.
How about Mornings with Boomer?
I like that.
You know, that's fine for now.
I like that.
I'd like it in perpetuity.
Right.
You're listening to Boomer Esiason in the Morning Show on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.